Great to have you with us this morning, just exploring lots of different topics. Got deep into that coaching and philosophical debate there, and that was fantastic. And then in amongst all that, Roberta Williams, Serena Williams and Lady Gaga to play Carol. So they still love the Tiger King. Doesn't matter how deep you get, Mitch, they still want to talk about the Tiger King. I was thinking about David Teague the other day. I crossed my mind that here's a man that's probably, after his footy career, waited all his life to get the opportunity to coach at senior AFL level, and we know he did a fantastic job in the interim last year. But now, as his own man, he got one taste of it, and then they ripped the competition away from him. It seems very cruel. He joins us on the line. Welcome, Teague.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Now what? It just doesn't seem right that you've all of a sudden you've done all that hard work. You particularly have waited and waited and waited and got the opportunity. Is it frustrating in any way?
Oh, look, it's disappointing. I think everyone involved in the AFL wants the games to be going ahead and playing, but there's a bigger power to be. I think I'm comfortable with the situation we're in at the moment. We just got to deal with it.
And so, how do you find yourself? You're based at home. What's your day look like?
I am based at home. I'm actually sitting out in the car at the moment doing this, so I could find a quiet space. It's quite hard to get a lot of work done, so it is challenging. I'm lucky. My mother-in-law lives about 500 metres around the corner, and they've gone down to their beach house to isolate. So I've been ducking around there for some quiet time, but. Lots of meetings on the computer and the phone, which is probably not my strong point. I love interacting with people, and I love the game, I love the players, and right now we don't have those two things. So it is a challenge, but it's a challenge for all. And in the bigger picture, like I said earlier, it's probably the smaller side of the challenges.
Hey, David, we've been talking a lot about coaching this morning, and I was with Gary just before, just talking about my time at Essendon under Kevin Sheedy and that type of thing, and what an influence he was, and other coaches that came along, and how they influenced me and others and the team, that type of thing. For you, now that you're stepped up and you're a coach in your own right, is there one of those coaches or assistants along the way that influenced you more than others, or are you a product of all those people that you've been associated with during that period of time?
Yeah, look, you're always learning, and you never stop learning. There's probably a couple. Phil Walsh was probably my biggest one, biggest influence. Just the way he prepared, he saw the game, his football intellect, he probably impacted me the most, and his probably ability to connect with people, his emotional intelligence was really strong. So he's probably the one. Dennis Pagan's probably the other one as a young footballer coming through. There's nothing like just doing the basics well, and it hasn't changed in time, and Dennis was very big on that. So they've probably been the two that have had the biggest influence. But as you mentioned, you're learning the whole way along from everyone. Not always what they do well, but sometimes what people don't do well, and you think, no, I think we can do that better and change as well.
David, I've had that with the late Dean Bailey. I had this conversation about Philip Walsh once, and he said what a genius he was, a football genius. Can you give us some insights as to what it was about him, or how he saw the game so differently that sort of opened your eyes to a whole different way of viewing it, maybe?
Yeah, he was probably, he played the game, which obviously was one aspect, but then he actually taught as a teacher. So the educational side behind a coach, he had a touch on that. He then went to Geelong and was the head of high performance, or the conditioning coach. So he just had a really well-rounded game of football, and then he put the hours in. The amount of vision that he would watch every game from every weekend, particularly as an assistant coach at West Coast. He'd be first in, and he'd be watching opposition games, key moments, and he just had a great understanding of the game. He also, the one thing that really jumped out at me, I was at Adelaide at the time, and we're playing Fremantle, and we're talking about who do you tag Fife with, and he goes, let's just put Dangerfield to go head-to-head with Fife, and we sort of looked at him, and he was like, that's what the fans want, we're custodians of the game, which sort of surprised me. I'd always seen him as this ruthless competitor, and I think he still thought we'd win doing it this way, but he goes, the fans want to see this, he wanted to see scoring. And it probably changed from my time at West Coast. I didn't see that side of him as much. But when he was a senior coach, he felt he had a responsibility to the fans and to the game to make it entertaining as well, which is something that definitely impacted me.
Chris Fagan said a similar thing at the start of last year about the need and want to play attractive footy to make it an attractive, you know, team to go and watch. Where do you sit in terms of your obligation to that?
Yeah, I have to admit, I was a dour defender with not a lot of talent. Then I did the back line for a fair while as a coach. I was very much around defence, but probably my time in Adelaide and seeing Adelaide's ability to score and the joy that they had, and then looking at trends across the game, Golden State Warriors, even in the NFL, other than the New England Patriots, the games have been evolving. Soccer's probably the only game where defence is still your number one stat. So the rules in these other games are changing to allow more scoring, and I'm a believer. I think I want our fans to come to the game. We've got great little fans, but I want to see us kick some goals. And even if we lose, if we're kicking 12, 13 goals and we're losing, at least one of those is going to be something they can take home for them and cheer about. So ideally, I'd love to play a brand of footy that's exciting, but you look at games, if it's a close game, fans seem to get in. It doesn't matter what the score is, they get into it as well. And I'm probably a young coach. The older coaches are probably shaking their heads going, when he gets older, he'll realise defence wins games. That keeps your job. But right now, I'm hoping our style's pretty aggressive, pretty attacking, and something our fans love.
That's music to the ears of the general supporter. Hey, you would have been doing a lot of, you know, looking at tapes and going over stuff, I would imagine. Is there one thing you've learned or changed your mind on or formed an opinion on throughout this period because of the, you know, the extra time that you've got to devote to stuff that you would otherwise be, you know, spent coaching players? Has there been anything where you've looked at it and gone, gee, yeah, I'm looking at that a little bit differently, I'm looking at that side a bit differently or that player a bit differently? Is any one thing?
Look, nothing's jumped out at me. I've watched the Richmond game with most players now because obviously a lot of the coaches are off doing other work or aren't at work at the moment. So I've been sitting down watching the Richmond game. I'm nearly over that game. I've watched it about 45 times. So, but more so from an individual player point of view, the team point of view, they were very good. They got us on the outside. But there's probably nothing that's jumped out as such. It's one game. It hasn't been a... We don't really. If we got five rounds in, I think you could really have a look at it and get some trends. But from a whole, there's nothing that's jumped out at me at the moment.
Well, they look like the team to beat, Tuggy. So is there? Do you have to go head to head with them, or can you go head to head with them, or is there a game plan that you need to design specifically just to beat Richmond?
Yeah, I think it's a challenge. I remember as a player, you come up against Brisbane, and we knew how Brisbane played, but as soon as you tried to change your game style to beat Brisbane, they already had an edge on you. So I think you just got to be really confident in your style and back your style in. I think Collingwood have probably had as much success as anyone. Teams that handball and use their free players, Richmond's pressure is very good, but if you can use your free player, even the Bulldogs at times, around the ball, and you can use that extra player... I think that allows you then to get some uncontested ball on the outside. The challenge is Richmond's pressure is very good and they're very good in the contest. So you fight and fire with fire. If you can execute, it works. If you can't execute, then it plays into Richmond's hands. So I think most teams will back in their style that they've trained all pre-season. But you've definitely got to try and keep the ball off them a bit. You can get some uncontested marks, but your ability is to take the ground and get the ball forward is the challenge.
And just one specific footy question too, just quickly. Charlie Curnow, I mean, the season will restart at some stage. What's your expectation now with Charlie as to where he's at with his recovery?
Yeah, look, his recovery's going well. There's no time frame being put on it yet. We have to wait to see how he handles the increase in loads. It's an interesting injury where it's not common, so we just don't know. And how Charlie handles it versus someone else that's had this injury, it could vary a lot. So far it's going really well. He's training really hard. His mindset's really good at the moment. So I think if he keeps progressing, hopefully sooner rather than later, we'll get a definitive time frame of how long that'll be.
Good to catch up, Teagy. Stay safe, and we'll talk again soon, hopefully with footy not too far away.
No, that'll be great. I'm missing it a little bit.
David Teague, coach of the Blues Carlton, making sure fans stay in touch with the club like never before. Stay tuned to the Carlton website and social media channels, and you'll get great behind-the-scene access. Whispers, We're going to take a break. We're going to launch our magnificent Great Grass giveaway, we're calling it. That's coming up as well. And I want to get your quick thoughts on the Hub, which is gathering some sort of momentum. I'm not sure whether it's real or otherwise. I tend to listen to Jared Whateley when these discussions are held, and he said yesterday, pretty unequivocally, he couldn't see it happening. So I'll have a chat about that with you next as well.